Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
It is now 10 past 4 here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. We are speaking to Pastor Mudzengi, who is already joining us on the line, continuing on our subject, talking about the sun. Good afternoon, Pastor. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
Very, very well. I'm good.
Thank you so much. We are then continuing from our discussion, you know, yesterday, God the Eternal Son became the incarnate Jesus Christ. Through him, all things were created. The character of God is revealed. The salvation of humanity is accomplished and the world is judged. And so forever truly God, and he became also truly human, Jesus Christ. So today we are focusing on the contrast between this humanity and divinity. But before we get into that, Pastor, just recap, from yesterday, you did say that what is the hierarchy? What did we cover yesterday?
Basically, in summary, we can say Christ is part of the triune God, or part of the Trinity, which is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And Christ did not start as Son, but he became Son. According to Isaiah chapter 9, it says, unto us a son is given. So originally, he was not a son, and he became a son before he was born, because the same scripture says, it's unto us a son is given, and the son, the S, is a capital letter S. So it's not a normal son who is born, but he is given to us. And then it said, then says, a child is born. So it's not the son who is born, but the child who is born. So he became son. He took a step down when the plan of salvation was put in place, in order to make sure that the role which he was to take in this plan of salvation would materialize. So the Father is the initiator of the plan, and then the Son is the one who actually who comes to work the plan, or who puts the plan into effect. He is the one who works the plan. And then the Holy Spirit comes last to actualize what Christ had done.
Thank you so much for that recap, Pastor. So let's get into today's discussion. Why did the Son then have to become human? Well, are there any particular reasons why the Son became human? I mean, it could have been any other way.
If you go to John chapter 1 and you read verse 1 to verse number 3, it will tell you that the Word, in the beginning was the Word was God, and it goes on to say that there was nothing that was created without him. Then if you go further down, I think verse number 11 and verse number 12, the Bible then says, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. Because the challenge that the devil had with the other angels in heaven was to say that the law of God is hard to keep. God is a dictator, and no human being can actually keep that law. And that's the reason why Adam and Eve fell. So Christ had to become a human being so that he could show to the world that it's possible to actually keep God's law. He came to show us an example, to lead the way, to say, I have actually walked through that same way. And Christ was tempted in all points as we are tempted, but he was actually tempted more than us. But he still conquered the devil, and he was able to demonstrate the love of God. So Christ had to come down to become a human being so that he would show us who the Father is. because the devil, he had painted God in a bad color, and God was there in Christ to actually show us who he is. Because there are even other people who think that God the Father is an angry kind of God, and he doesn't love people. He is there to punish and to do other things like that. But through Christ, his son, whom God gave, he loved the way that he gave his son. And the same son came to show us what the Father is and what God is and how much he loves us as humanity. So he was here to actually show that he cares for us and he loves us and he wants to be with us. Emmanuel, it means God with us. He wanted to be with us. It's not like someone wants to have a long distance kind of a relationship with us, but he had to come to be with us, to be like us, to dwell with us, eat with us, move around with us. That's why the apostles, especially John, says we actually saw him, we touched him, we know him.
Mm.
Then he talked about the love of that God.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, does he still have the elements of his humanity to this day, or his humanness to this day?
Jesus Christ is still God-man. Even in heaven, he is ministering in the heavenly temple as a human being. So he is the Son of God and also Son of Man.
Mm.
So these two elements are going to be with him. And even when he is going to come and stay with us, when the headquarters of the entire universe will be on planet Earth, because the Bible says to us in the book of Revelation that the tabernacle of man, of God, is going to be established here on Earth. He is going to pitch his tent on planet Earth. So basically, because of his love for us, he will forever have that body with those scars.
Mm.
We would actually be seeing him as a human being.
Mm.
It changed the way God is. The coming down to save us changed him. He's now going to be permanently with that human body.
Mm, mm, mm. Now, when he was on Earth, he was both human and divine. Or did he actually put away his divinity and parked it while he was here on Earth?
Well, he did not park his humanity. He was 100% God and 100% a human. But to delve into the physics, to say we can explain it this or that way, it's hard because it's a mystery. We cannot explain it to its fullest, because the moment you are able now to explain God, it means he is no longer God. But he was 100% God and 100% a human, because if he had no humanity, the devil could not tempt him. God cannot be tempted. So the devil actually tempted him, and he did not rely on his divinity. Actually, he put himself under God. That's why whenever he wanted to perform a miracle, he would actually ask for the Father to do the thing through him, because he subjected himself to the Father. He subordinated himself to the Father, but he was still 100% God and 100% a human being.
Yeah, it's understandable that you definitely cannot tempt God, hence he was not tempted. However, doesn't it then become unfair that we are expected to be like him and never have to fall into sin? I mean, he has never fallen into sin because he's God after all, and now the human beings are expected to never fall into sin and be like him, yet he was never fully human. After all, he not only human, but also God at the same time. So he did use his advantage of being a God not to fall into sin. Not so?
Actually, his being a divine was not an advantage. It was actually a disadvantage because his greatest temptation was to abuse his divine power. That was his greatest temptation. So he was actually more exposed to the devil than we are. That's why in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says he was tempted in all points as we are. And his temptations were even greater than the temptations that fall on us, because the devil was always trying to target him each and every second so that he would fall, so that the plan would not come to fruition. So he was heavily in danger. That's why early in the morning, even before the disciples would wake up, Christ would wake up and he would go and pray. Early, way, way before the break of dawn, he would go and pray. And he would spend hours in prayer. In the evenings, he would go to the mountains before meeting the people. So if he was to say, well, I'm God, I don't need to pray, I don't need to do whatever, he was in close connection with his Father. He also used the word of God to defeat the temptations that were coming his way from the devil. So he becomes the second Adam, because the first Adam failed. But Christ came to say, look, what the first Adam failed, I can do it. And if I can do it, you can also do it. Other people say, like, if he did it, I can also do it. So
now, what does the union of his humanity and divinity mean for his followers today?
The meaning of that is, what does it mean to us? We need to rely more on divine power than on our human power. Because without the cooperation of the human and the divine, we will not go anywhere. In our deficiency, Christ is efficient. And when we are weak, that's when we are strong. The moment you think that I am close to God, I am a better Christian, I am good, when you feel like that, it actually exposes you that you are, you have drifted far away from him. But the more you feel the need for Christ, the more closer you are to him. If you look at Isaiah, when he had that vision of the Lord and he was high and lifted up, he looked at himself and he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. So he says, I am done, I am finished. He did not point at other people, but he pointed at himself. The closer he saw God, so the closer we get to God, the more we yearn to become better. But the further we drift away from God, the more we see our holiness.
Very interesting indeed. Well, Pastor, we're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and same place. I do want to say thank you so, so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.